police shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and the death of Eric Garner as he was arrested in New York City has certainly fired up the national conversation about body cameras for cops. Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti, and Lowell in Kent County are all beginning to outfit their officers with body cameras. Grand Rapids police are seriously considering them. But there are a host of challenging privacy issues that are being uncorked here. David Oliver is chief of the Brinfield, Ohio Police Department. The chief recently went on Facebook and posted an open letter about police body cameras, a letter that caught our eye. Chief, welcome to Stateside.
It is my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Does this movement toward body cameras, does this feel like a natural progression in policing in the 21st century?
You know, yes, it does. This was the direction I think most police leaders saw the profession going, at least probably for the last 6 to 8 years. I mean, obviously it started with cameras in the vehicles, and you know, and back in my day that started with the old VHS tapes, and now those are all digital. So yeah, I think it was a natural progression.
And your department uses them?
We actually are putting them in service in 2015. We have one test model now. We've actually gone through a couple to figure out which one we wanted.
So before we get into your thoughts about the merits and the risks of these body cams, tell us a little how they work. How are they worn?
Well, it depends on what model you buy. Some of them can clip to a uniform shirt. There's one model that actually fits over the ear, similar to a Bluetooth. And that way you can see what the officer sees. If you're in any kind of encounter or even a conversation, if you have a forward-facing that's clipped to a uniform shirt, the officer can turn his or her head and look in a different direction, but the camera still focuses straight ahead. Because, you know, unless you turn the body, the camera's not moving with it. So I think at least on our end, we're going to be going with something that gives you the point of view of the officer no matter which way his or her head turns.
And I'm curious, just with the model that you've decided is best for your department in Brimfield, how wide is the lens? I'm wondering how much of the scene is captured, and also how clear are the audio and video images?
Both actually very good considering the size of the camera. And, you know, with today's technology, I mean, if you look at nanny cams and things like that are put inside of a teddy bear or a stuffed animal, or even in the cameras that are located in some folks' homes for security purposes with an alarm system or something like that. The technology is definitely there. So the picture is going to be relatively clear, certainly based on the distance from the subject, and I mean subject as in not a person, but whatever you're taping. And the sound, I think, will be decent quality, too, at least on the models that we've done demos with.
And how do they run? And by that, I mean, do they run constantly, and or are they turned on?
Yeah, they have to be activated by the officer, which, you know, there are several things. First of all, I am very pro-camera for law enforcement. I believe that it is going to clear up immensely the officer complaints that have to be investigated and through a long investigation are deemed to be without merit. I think a video will clear that up in 30 or 40 seconds now. So,
yeah.
You know, you won't have these long, drawn-out investigations with interviewing people. You bring in a video, you download it, and a chief or command staff or internal affairs, depending on how big the department is, would look at the video and say, yes, this happened, or no, it didn't.
In fact, you write about that in your Facebook post. Would you give us kind of recap that? For instance, you had a complaint that came from a domestic incident.
Yeah, we did. We actually had a young man, well, he was overage, but a younger male was arrested for a domestic incident and made some allegations against one of my officers, to the point where he said that he was struck and he was called names and some other things. And then his father became involved and couldn't believe that we treated his son in such a way. The issue that we had was we had dash cam, which recorded the interaction in the front yard, and then we had holding cell cameras. All of our holding cells in booking area are all camered also. And the 2 points he made the allegations about were both covered by camera. And when I called them in to close out the investigation, all I had to do was press play. And we were only into it about 60 seconds before the young man asked us to stop. He said, I don't want my dad to see this. And so, you know, for me, that was a perfect situation because I think most people will find out that well over 95-98% of police officers do a great job, and the cameras will help those of us that do a good job kind of push the bad cops out of the business, and they will protect the large majority that really come to work every day and do a great job.
Then the ACLU, for instance, agrees with you, saying these cameras can be win-win as they help protect police against the false accusations and then help protect the public against police misconduct. So, and as you say, I love body cameras. They help me do a better job. But let's get into your thoughts that you express about the price we're paying in lost privacy.
Well, I think the people who are going to have the toughest time with these cameras is the public. I think the public is going to be in for a rude awakening when perhaps they live in a neighborhood where they have some neighbors who they aren't very friendly with, and we get called to their house for a domestic or for a neighborhood dispute or whatever. When we get out of the car, at least in our department, our officers, they're going to be mandated when you're dealing, talking with anybody, you press record. And I think that it takes some of the anonymity out of complaints, and I also think that it will open up an entire public records door that has never been opened before. If you have somebody in your neighborhood who is, I mean, in my day we used to say nosy, but very curious about things that go on, all they have to do is come to the police department and request a video for that incident, and they'll be able to watch it.
You have to provide that video.
We do. It's public record. There will be some exceptions, and probably the exception that I can see forthcoming through legislative means would be sexual assault victims and juveniles. I think there'll be a shield on those. But, you know, in a domestic situation, we could walk in and have a pretty heated, let's just use a generic example where we have a couple of intoxicated people who can't get along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to go in and press play, and they're going to be in all their glory with, you know, throwing comments around and insults and everything else. And when that case closes out, all of it's public record, including the recording. So not only will you have what they said maybe when they weren't at their best, but you're going to have the interior of their home. You're going to have, you know, everything else that's involved with it.
So, yeah, when you think about it, it's one thing to have that dash cam recording a traffic stop along I-75.
That's
It's quite
correct.
Another to have it rolling in my living room.
And for me, that's I know there's a big public push right now for the cameras, and as I put on our Facebook page, the Brimfield PD page, I said you got to be careful what you ask for, because with all of, and I don't want to say places like NPR or reputable news sources, but when you have people out there who make their existence on footage like this, you know, the true show kind of things,
mm-hmm.
We could be looking at blanket public records requests for all the videos for the month of December from your body cameras. And then you may have, I'm not a doom and gloomer here, but I could see it happening based on the fact that it would sell, and we all know that when it makes money, you know, it usually is put on the market.
Yes.
And we could have a situation where we have several companies calling and mining this data in a situation where they're going to make a show, and, you know, it could be America's Most Drunk or America's Most Whatever. And we have people that are at their worst, and in any other arena, we never would have captured it on video. But with the push going this direction, it's a very, very real possibility.
And what are the privacy issues that are raised for your officers?
I don't worry about the privacy issues so much. I mean, we're public officials. When we're out in the public, everything we do is not only unless it's an ongoing investigation, it's not public record, but it's certainly for all public consumption, either at the end of the investigation or even while we're in the middle of it. I mean, people routinely videotape us every time, and I mean us in the profession. If police go out on a call that is pretty heated, it's not uncommon to see 11 or 12 cell phones pop out and the recording start. We're used to that. But I think the American public is not used to it. I think that when someone calls the police and they need help and we show up and we're recording, and we're going to record to protect ourselves, but we also look for things like excited utterances where somebody's going to confess to a crime right on video. And when that investigation is done, it's going to be public record. And I think that's going to be shocking to a lot of people. And I also think it can be, for people who have not so good intentions, it could be, when, you know, I mentioned one of the things, divorce cases and things like that. If you're in a heated custody battle and we show up because you're intoxicated or whatever and your children are at home, you run the risk of your ex-spouse issuing public records requests for that and taking you back into court and pressing play for the judge in the probate court. So there's a whole lot of things that I think that the public hasn't really thought about. They want to fix a problem, and we were going to body cameras anyway. That's not the issue. But I thought, if we ever didn't go, it was going to be because of public outcry for privacy. But we seem to be ignoring that now and going a direction where, well, we have to make sure our police are held accountable. Well, I get that. Most of us are accountable. and most of us are very, very good at what we do and love the profession.
As you tell us you're in favor of body cameras for police and that it helps you do a better job, you also are saying to the public, welcome to the future, make sure you're presentable for TV. Are you saying that you wish it had not come to this point where police and the public want these cameras to basically to protect each side from the other?
Yeah, I like them. I can't stress that enough. I like them for evidence purposes. I like them for clarity on complaints. I am very, very pro-camera. But I'm kind of bewildered because I always thought with the push that we have had maybe in the last 10 to 15 years about personal rights and about privacy, and you have things like the NSA listening to telephone calls and you know, all the other stuff that people are complaining about. In this situation, I thought it was awfully knee-jerk to make this huge push for body cameras for cops all over the United States without thinking of the fact that when you call the police, we're going to show up and you're going to be recorded. We have to look at these privacy issues too, because Americans are kind of spoiled. We like our privacy.
Yes.
And, you know, now that another government entity has the potential to come into your house and you're going to be recorded and other people could possibly see it through a public records request, I'm bewildered that everybody maybe hasn't thought of this.
And it also kind of raises that maybe it's a deeper issue, but the idea or the feeling that police departments and the public are not on the same page as much as perhaps they used to be.
Well, I think we are. I think there are other underlying social issues that need addressed, but they're kind of being put in a backpack and being made to be carried by law enforcement. I think there are far more important and ranging issues than the 0.17% of deadly forces that are used in 12 million arrests a year. I mean, we have 12 million arrests a year, not us, but I mean, law enforcement has roughly 12 million arrests a year, and we have roughly 400 deadly force claims a year out of those 12 million. I think there's an underlying social problem, but I don't think it should be put on the back of law enforcement.
Chief David Oliver of the Brimfield, Ohio Police Department. His post is on the police Facebook page for Brimfield, Ohio. Chief, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure.